This is Behind the Brush by St. Jack. Hello and welcome back to Behind the Brush. It's me, it's Beth, your host, founder of St. Jack Cosmetics and makeup artist. It is the day after Boxing Day and we are officially moving into that inevitable period between Christmas and New Year's where you don't actually know what day it is and nobody really cares. I am still chowing down on leftovers. I have become a human potato. I watched 8 episodes of Emily in Paris yesterday and I am living my best life. I was very fortunate to have a beautiful Christmas with the majority of my family. One of my sisters had to isolate, which absolutely sucked. But in the grand scheme of things, everyone I love is happy and healthy. And I couldn't ask for much more than that. So no matter what you celebrate, I hope that you got to experience some of that end of year magic as well. This episode is a little bit different, guys, because it's just me. I won't be interviewing anyone. I tossed up whether or not I would get someone to kind of have this chat with me, but I thought, you know what? Everyone I know has worked hard enough, so I'll take one for the team, and I'm just going to share with you my top takeaways from a huge year. There's a lot of lessons in here about being an artist, some of which I have drawn from the interview episodes that I have done already. There's lots of lessons about being a business owner, which I myself have just learned along the way. And there's some general life shit in there as well, because I think that much like last year, this year has tested us. And so it's important to reflect. And on that note, it would be remiss of me not to reflect on the beauty that is you. Each and every single one of you who listen, you DM me, you review, whatever, you message, you email, you share, far out. When I literally sit in my messy bedroom and record these episodes, it's hard to imagine people actually taking time out of their day to listen. And so to know that you're not just even listening, but you're absorbing, you're inspired, you're excited, far out. I couldn't ask for anything more. Obviously, it means a lot to me personally, but it lights a fire under my ass to make this show so good for you next year. So I ask you, if there is someone you want to hear from, if there are questions you want answered that I'm not asking, please let me know. I do this for you and I do this for Beth, like 6-7 years ago, who didn't have a place to hear about the stories of what it was like to work in this industry and who felt like, you know, I was entering this world unknown. Let's debunk all the myths. Let's work all the shit out. Let's share our best lessons. And on that note, there's no need for a big intro today because it's just me all day, baby. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you 21 lessons from 2021. Number 21, insure your kit. Take out an insurance policy on your kit. It sounds so simple, but for anyone listening who hasn't done it, I implore you, as soon as the holidays are over, the public holidays or whatever, go online, go to that Meerkat website, you know, simples. And find out, you know, what the best policies might be. It's not really as simple as like insuring your car or your house or whatever, but like it's worth navigating because if some asshole takes your kit from your car while you are stopped at a servo between jobs or, you know, you stop at Chadston to pick something up or like whatever, right? I just realized that this is people listening from not just Melbourne. Chadston's like a big shopping center or mall. If somebody steals it and it's not insured, you are absolutely fucked. So insure your kit. Number 20. Invest in your education. I cannot stress this enough. You can never learn enough. We are living in the golden age of artistry education. Even myself, I'm trying to think when I started looking into makeup education, it would have been 7-8 years ago, there was nothing like on the scale of what is available now. You can learn from literally, you know, so many of the amazing artists from all over the world. And it's not just because of the internet, right? The beauty of the internet, But with the pandemic, more artists are taking the programs that they would have toured in person and they're putting them online. So, you know, even 3 years ago where you would have just done online classes on like Facebook or whatever, there are proper platforms now for you to learn. And it's just amazing. So some of my favorites, in case you're wondering, at the moment are the Tennille J course, which is astonishing. There is so much content in there. I love it. You've got Faces by Jack as well. And I have mentioned this so many times on the podcast and it is not sponsored. I am just a huge fan. The Secret Fox. I think that might even be one of the best places to start because it's $99 a month, I think, or it was when I was using it a little while ago. And you can cancel it whenever you want. But you've got legends like Tennille, like Jack, and you've got Penny Antoine, you've got Emma Chan, you've got Mia Connor. You know, so many amazing people. Actually, I can't even remember everyone who's been on it. But it's just so good and it's so detailed and you get a list of all the products that they've used and all this sort of stuff. So really, I implore you, don't just rest on your laurels and keep doing the same shit over and over and over again expecting to get better. You have to invest in your education, invest in yourself. Number 19. You can't be all things to everyone. What I mean by that is this. You can't do soft glam in the morning and then in the afternoon have someone come to you and be like, I want that like Instagram style cut crease with glitter, blah, 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 blah. And then just be like, oh yeah, I'll do that even though that's like not really my thing. Oh yeah, whatever. No, find your own style, stick to it and evolve it. But don't try to be the cut crease Instagram artist if that's not your style and your style is a softer glam. Like find out what kind of artist you want to be and show up as that artist to the clients who want that kind of work done. Number 18. Your worth as an artist is not defined by how many Instagram followers you have. Point blank, period. Number 17. Instagram owes you nothing. Now, I know that sounds a bit harsh, but you have to understand that these days Instagram is first and foremost a paid platform even. Now, what I mean by that is because like we all sign up for free or whatever, they don't care about accounts that don't spend money with them, meaning your personal, your private Instagram account, or if you don't spend money on ads with your makeup artistry account or whatever, they only care about accounts that are making them money. So typically that would be brands or businesses who spend money with them on ads. And we all know what the ads look like because we all get targeted in them, right? I worked very briefly at a digital marketing agency. And so I have some grasp on all of the ins and the outs of the way, you know, that Instagram tries to make money off people and how it works and yada, yada, yada. And so over the last few years, it's been kind of fascinating to see people get really upset about the algorithm or people get upset because their engagement is shit or they're not getting enough followers or all this sort of thing. Well, at the end of the day, hun, I hate to tell you this, but you're not paying to use it. It doesn't owe you anything, right? So it's this simple. Hear this. If you're not paying, you don't get priority access to people's eyeballs. It's a classic thing. Instagram's asset is getting people to pay attention to the content that they want them to see. And they really want them to see the content that's being paid for. I don't know how else to explain it. But the thing that you need to learn from this is you cannot let it get you down. And more importantly, you need to make sure that your business exists on other platforms. And by that, I don't just mean make sure that your business exists on TikTok or shit, I'm so old, I can't think of another like social media app like Snapchat or whatever. I don't think that that really works. Anyway, you have to focus on avenues that you can control, right? So what I mean by that is if you don't have one, make a website. If you don't already, ask customers or ask clients who you do work for to leave you a Google review so that when people are Googling around, for example, Melbourne makeup artists, they see that you're well-reviewed. Collect the email addresses of clients that you're working with and have them in a little database. You don't have to pay for software if you don't want to, if you feel like you don't have enough. Just get like a spreadsheet or something and keep them all in there. There's just nothing you can do about the fact that at any given moment, old mate Mark Zuckerberg could just like pull the pin and say, you know what? Instagram is a subscription app now and you have to pay, you know, $30 a month to be able to use it. If he does that, it's possible that 50, 80% of the people that you've got in your followers list are going to be like, nah, don't need it, don't want it. And then where are you going to get your clients from? So just be aware of that. You can't rely on it. It doesn't owe you anything. It's just the way the world works. I hate to tell you. So make sure you've got lots and lots and lots of other touch points with your clients that you're in control of, and don't just be dependent on one app. Number 16. Being competitive with other makeup artists or people in your field, like whether you're a lash tech or, you know, nail artist, whatever, being competitive is boring and it's so fucking old school, okay? The vibe for 2022 is about supporting each other and celebrating each other's wins. If you can genuinely connect with the people around you who work in your field, your professional life is going to be so much better. And if you're worried that like all these artists around you, you know, oh, they're doing better than me, or they're booking that job, or their Saturday's completely booked out and mine isn't, so like, you know, I'm bitter and twisted, so I don't want to be their friend. Well, mate, that's not it. You're not going to get anywhere in life with that attitude. You have to pull yourself together. Just realize there's enough clients out there for everyone. There's enough jobs out there for everyone. Everyone's on a different journey, a different path. Your time will come, but your life is just going to be so much more fun if you make friends with the people around you and support them and share if they ask you a question about what product you're using, or, you know, what app did you use to edit this video or whatever. Just trust me on that one, okay? Number 15. This one comes from my episode, the first ever episode of the pod, actually, with Jack Kale. There is value in learning how to say no. It is so easy to fall into the trap of saying yes to every job, every opportunity that comes your way. And you say yes if you're anything like me a few years ago, because I don't want to miss out on money. Like, I need to be working. I need to make money. I don't want to lose that job to someone else. See the last lesson. This is something that actually plagues me a little bit even to this day. I don't want to get a reputation for saying no, right? However, there are going to be some jobs that come into your inbox, whether that's an email or DM or whatever. And these jobs don't align with our artistic style. They don't align with our values, whether that be professionally or personally, or they're not financially feasible because they're a million miles away. And you just feel like you can't say no. But just remember this. Just because you aren't on the tools doesn't mean that you're not working. So if you say no to a job, you can spend that time, you know, doing your website. You could do your books, for God's sake. You could make time, you know, setting some plans for the future, making some goals. Or you might just decide, and by the way, this is so fine, that you're just better off saying no to that job and using the time to watch an episode of Emily in Paris. You know, just use the time to recharge your own batteries. Point is, there is value in saying no. You don't have to say yes to every job. In fact, your life will be so much better if you don't. You can always afford to be discerning with your time. Number 14. The work you put out is the work you attract. For example, if your Instagram and website is lots and lots of soft glam, bridal style work, right? You've got pictures of actual brides, you've got makeup looks on, you know, models or other people that would be appropriate for a bride. That's what your inbox is going to look like. It's going to be people who are getting married, who have seen your work, and they say, oh, well, that'll look really good at my wedding. So if you were really interested in doing more editorial work or working with color, how are those people meant to know that that's your thing, right? So for example, we talk about this in Tennille's episode. She was doing a heavier style of makeup than was probably true to her. For a time there, she was doing that real kind of classic Instagram, YouTube makeup that was really popular in like 2016, 2017. But in reality, she really wanted to do more soft glam. She wanted to be working on shoots and, you know, e-commerce work. So she started putting those types of looks on her Instagram. Not long from then, she was able to start assisting artists who were more aligned with that style. And then from there, she was able to book herself on those jobs. So make sure that pictures, which is basically your portfolio these days, on your Instagram, on your website, on your TikTok, whatever, make sure they're aligned with the work that you want to be doing moving forward into the future. go have a look at your profile. If it's not aligned with what you want to be doing next year, it's time to get some people in the chair so you can start doing the work that you want to attract. Number 13. Solo breakfast dates are always a good idea. This one might sound a little bit random, but I love a solo breakfast date. I personally love a poached egg on sourdough with avocado and hollandaise if I'm being cheeky and a nice long black. And I will take a notebook with me or even just my phone, and I'll just use that time, like 45 minutes or whatever it is, an hour, just to kind of get inspired about what looks do I want to create? What goals do I want to set? What do I want to achieve this week? What do I want to achieve this month, this year, whatever? It's just a nice reset thing. And if you're, you know, one of those people who's like, oh, I couldn't possibly go to a cafe or a restaurant alone, breakfast is the least intimidating meal that you could eat alone. I highly recommend you do it. I'm partial to a solo lunch every so often. I don't mind. I just find them really rejuvenating. So if you've never done it before, get yourself a little 2022 workbook and take it to a cafe and see what comes to you. I find them very inspiring. Number 12. Do one thing today that future you will be grateful for. For example, clean your brushes as soon as you get home from the job rather than leaving them until later that night. Meal prep something healthy for lunch so that you spend less time in the drive-thru after a wedding. Pre-plan your outfit and like put it out, you know, ready to go in the morning so that you don't have to think about it in the morning. Anything you can do to take the load off the shoulders of your future self, that's a good thing. Number 11. Create a community of like-minded artists and build yourself a work culture. So I've worked before in some pretty big businesses, and something I really miss about working, you know, in bigger companies is the workplace culture, like having Friday knockoffs, the huge Christmas parties, like having a work wife or a work husband or whatever, and like building that camaraderie that you only get when you work with someone. That doesn't exist when you're a freelancer. That doesn't exist when you're a brand owner like me, unless you do it yourself. For example, I have a really good friend, Christine, and she's probably listening to this episode. Shout out, Christine. What's up? And I met her at some point. We don't actually know how or when, but I met her at some point last year on Instagram. So I think we were all in lockdown and, you know, we started commenting on each other's posts or whatever. And then the DMs start flowing. And then when we were out of lockdown, we had breakfast, and then we've continued to have breakfast. We've continued to build a friendship. And now I feel like in some ways she is my work wife. She's also a makeup artist. So she understands what the feels are, and we can talk to each other and we can learn from each other, and we work together now. And she's truly, like, sincerely a very good friend of mine. And I couldn't do this without people like her to support me because they understand. So if you are pissed off because you don't get to have a work Christmas party anymore because you work for yourself, sis, organize your own work Christmas party. And in fact, this is me saying out there to the people that I am friends with in this industry, I am going to organize some, you know, fun summer drinks for all of us to catch up and hang out, because you know, you got to practice what you preach. Number 10. Take your finances seriously. This is really exposing myself here, but for a very long time, your girl was just doing like cash in hand, and I don't think that that's like unique, and I wasn't tracking it. And this sounds really fucked up actually, but because I've always had another job, I was like, oh, my makeup money is kind of like play money because, you know, it's like not my real income or anything. But then that meant anytime I had to like buy stuff for my kit, it was probably coming out of like another bank account, and I ended up losing out in the end because I wasn't taking myself seriously. I wasn't tracking, you know, my income and my expenses and all this sort of shit, and I wasn't doing tax right. I sorted that out last year and I feel so much better for it. I highly recommend, if you are really getting to that point where you are doing makeup or whatever your craft is more frequently, get an accountant, sort it out. Also, this is just a shout out to the beautiful Victoria Devine, her podcast, The Business Bible, and her book called She's on the Money. I made a personal New Year's resolution last year to take control of my finances, not just, you know, in my work, but in my life, because I had a little bit of a, you know, your girl likes to shop. Let's just put it that way. Anyway, I was like, no, I'm going to take myself seriously. I'm going to set financial goals, all this stuff, which really makes me feel very uncomfortable. But she's made it very palatable, so easy to access. And she really gets it. Like, I'd read The Barefoot Investor before. I'd read the first couple of chapters and I was like, I'm not so sure about this. And then as soon as I'd kind of finished like the cash flow chapters, which I think is like chapter 3, none of the stuff after that helped me. It was like, I feel like speaking to people who are a lot older than me or in different life situations. And yeah, I just highly recommend you check her out if you don't know how to get started in taking care of your financial health or your financial literacy. It's all about taking your job seriously so that you can have financial freedom and build the life that you want. Number 9, on the point of finances, review your rates at least once a year. Your rates have to cover a lot of shit. It has to cover your time. It has to cover your kit, your travel expenses, your education, your skill, and all of this evolves over time. If you are continuing to invest in yourself as an artist, you're being booked more, you're in higher demand, it's probably time to review what you are charging. Now, look, I don't have a magical equation for this. In fact, if I'm being personally honest, like I don't even feel confident that I've even nailed the whole rates thing. But a good place to start is to at least be critical of what you're charging now and make sure you're charging at least what you're worth. I'm not suggesting everyone go up their prices by $50 and be like, oh, see ya. But really, like, think about it. Number 8. Shop smarter and plan ahead. As a brand owner now, I can tell you this for a fine fact. There are so many sales coming up in a calendar year where you will have the opportunity to save a lot of money. For example, I'm pretty sure there's an Afterpay Day in March. There's an Afterpay Day, I believe, in August. Black Friday comes around the end of November. Boxing Day sales are on at the moment. So you've got Boxing Day sales in December. And brands all the time, they're like 15, 20%. Sephora, 15, 20%. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of knowing that it's coming. Buy your foundations during that time so that you are getting the best bang for your buck. Like, plan ahead, okay? And also make sure that you are using pro discounts to the best of your ability. Some that I really like, you've got Harbor Beauty Co., which are amazing individual lashes. You've got Model Rock. I buy all my sponges from there in like big bulk packs because they're honestly just fucking awesome. You've got MAC, Charlotte Tilbury do one. So don't be buying Charlotte Tilbury at Mecca, just between you and me. Like, get a pro discount, okay? God, there are so many. Just be sure that you're being smart about it. Number 7. Just because a new product comes out doesn't mean that you need it. Boy, I could sincerely do a whole episode on this because part of my past life, you know, working in other businesses and briefly working in marketing and my current life now as a brand owner, as well as a consumer, I have so many perspectives on how companies sell to us. Like, I have a lot of knowledge in this space. Something I want to kind of draw your attention to, for example, is a technique that we would call flooding. So a new product comes out and you send it to influencers. Let's just say, for example, reasonably famous makeup artists, you would send it to them all at once so that they're opening it all around about the same time. And if you're following all of those people, you're going through all of their stories at the same time and you're like, oh shit, this new bronzer. Oh shit, that new bronzer again. Oh God, even this person got that new bronzer. I got to get that new bronzer. Do you though? Be critical about what you're seeing. Don't just buy something because you see somebody else has it. Wait to see if they're using it. Wait to see if they love it. Wait to see if they can't live without it. Listen out for the opinions. Don't just look out for unboxing. Does that make sense? It definitely makes sense. Just be critical, okay? Even like, you know, holiday releases, like no shade to Too Faced, but Too Faced every single year without fail will release a new palette that's like some variation on a Christmas dessert, like Christmas gingerbread, Christmas candy cane, Christmas pudding, like I don't know. But like, it's probably very similar shades. Do you really need it? Probably not. Would your money be better spent in you expanding your shade range and your foundations or getting more foundation, you know, products so that you're covering more skin types? Like, yes, Yes, I'm just going to say yes. So just think about it. If you want to buy it because it's fun or it's pretty, that's fine. But don't get caught up. Don't be a hamster in the marketing wheel. Number six, condense your kit. You know, if you're not into this whole movement already, it's just time. It's time to get on it. Condensing your kit reduces the weight that you're carrying around everywhere. It makes it easier to find your products when you're on a job or to set up your station. Obviously, if you have a studio space, it's probably less important, but for mobile makeup artists, bridal makeup artists, essential. I personally love buying those little plastic tubes to put my foundations in, and then I have got a label maker to stick like a sticker with the product and shade name on it. I've also got little stackable pots for all of my loose pigments, as well as all my lipstick squashed into a palette. Like Muji is a really great starting point, but actually on the day that this podcast is being released, Stella Too would have just released her new tubes with her business Tooing Kit. They are even more slimline than Muji. They're airless, so you don't actually waste product, which is a real concern of mine with the Muji ones. They are so slimline. They're refillable. Like, honestly, they look fucking amazing. So I would have already put in my order for them. They wouldn't have arrived yet. But I really, really love the idea of these things. And this is obviously not sponsored, but I really respect what Stella does. And I think that these tubes are going to be essential for all of us moving forward. Number five. If you never ask, you'll never know. Some of the best things that happened to me this year just came from me putting myself out there with no expectations and just honestly 100% willingness to be rejected. Story time. I knew that I wanted to do this podcast, and it, you know, had been swirling around in my head honestly before the Mist even launched. It was like in 2020 when I had the idea for St. Jack. I knew that I wanted to have a podcast. It was just, when was going to be the right time? How was I going to do it? Anyway, when the time came around a few months ago and I was like, I think now is the time, I knew immediately that I wanted Jack to be my first guest. I knew that he was going to put me at ease. He's a beautiful guy, just a lovely, lovely person. I was like, shit, like, how am I going to ask him? And you know when you have to send a message that's either like stressing you out or you want it to be perfect or whatever, and you write it in your notes and you like write out the whole thing and then you're like copying it and you're sending it to your friend. You're like, what does this sound like? What does this sound like? So I'm sending it to my friend Christine, who I was just talking about earlier. And I'm like, what do you think? She's like, yeah, yeah, but like, you know, we don't want to seem like too desperate or too this or too that. And I was like, yeah, shit. And so I was sitting on this draft for so long because I was thinking, you know what? Like, I know that Jack's a really nice guy. But I also, you know, I've got nothing to show for myself. Like, I've never done this podcast before. I've never been on a podcast before. Like, you know, he's saying yes, potentially, to nothing I can prove. So I was freaking out a little bit, right? And then anyway, so I've had this draft sitting in my phone for like a week. And then one day I had had a few black coffees in the morning on a Saturday. And it was like at some point in lockdown. But honestly, if you live in Melbourne, when weren't we in lockdown this year? And I'd had a few black coffees and I was like, oh, fuck this. Like, I'm just going to send him a DM and I'm just going to send it to him right now. Like I would normally would send a text with like lots of short little tiny texts like in a row. So, okay, not from my drafts. I'm just going to be like, hey, mate, love ya. Would you like to be on my podcast? Hasn't started yet. What do you think? He immediately replied and he said, would absolutely fucking love to. Like, what a great idea. Far out. Like, never in my wildest dreams was he going to say yes. Never in my wildest dreams was he going to say yes immediately. I was 100% prepared for him to be like, oh yeah, in theory, like sounds like a really good idea, but like, you know, I don't really have time. But that was his way of being nice. He just didn't want to do it. I was so wrong. I've said it on the show before. I love it. I love to say you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Number four. The makeup you do is so much more than just the application. I love the episode that I recorded with Hillary Holmes, firstly, because I love her, but also because it took a turn. And usually when people use that expression, it's not in a good way. It evolved into a conversation I wasn't expecting to have about the power of makeup. And I've always believed in it as somebody who has struggled with self-image and being overweight and like whatever at different points in my life. And I've always known that makeup is just so fucking powerful, to be honest. That walking into a room with a red lipstick makes you feel powerful. It makes you feel just some kind of way, right? So when you are sitting with a client and they're in your chair, if you work in retail and you have a woman come to you and ask you, what can I do to hide these dark circles around my eyes? Or I hate the way, you know, I've got hooded eyes and I can't do this, that, or whatever. It is your job to meet them in that moment of insecurity and to help them see through it and to empower them, as Hillary would say, to back their beauty. I think of it like this. At the end of the day, your client isn't always going to remember the way that you made them look. They're not even going to necessarily remember the product you sold them, whatever it might be. They won't remember that. But they will always remember the way that you made them feel. Number three. You are 42% more likely, sis, to achieve your goals if you write them down, okay? So I do goals in two ways. For St. Jack, I love to write them down. I've got a whiteboard in my office above my packing station where I do all of your orders. And the goals for St. Jack are pretty numerical, to be perfectly honest. It can be how much revenue do I want to do? How many sales do I want to have? At some point, I was tracking TikTok followers, but I myself have learned, like I said earlier in the podcast, that follower numbers really don't matter. Even I would have a goal of how many customers did I want to surprise in their orders in one way or another throughout the month, just to keep myself accountable. And what that did was every time I went into the office, I would be like, okay, I've got X amount of orders that I still want to make in the month. What do I need to do to get them done? Should I make a reel? Should I go on stories? Should I send an email? Should I write a blog post? Whatever. That might not make as much sense to you if you don't have a product-based business. For a service-based business, what I really love, and this is something that Jack talks about in his episode, and I've heard him talk about multiple times because he loves them, are vision boards. What is the career you want to create for yourself as an artist? What is the life you want to create for yourself as a human being? Create a vision board. It doesn't have to be physical because these days we don't really buy magazines, do we? Like in my head, you would cut out pictures from magazines. I make my vision boards on Canva. So they're virtual and every 3 months or so, I change my computer background. So I make it my computer background and then I change it kind of like seasonally. So at the moment, I've got one that's got like summer vibes on it. And what do I want to achieve in summer? I'm just going to click it and see what I've got there. I've got things about the podcast. I've got things about going to the Stoke House in St. Kilda because it's just to remind me that I want to go there. I've got a picture of Riley. What's her surname? Riley Hemson? Oh my God, I'm going to have to Google it. But like, I just love how she owns her confidence. Riley Hemson, my bad. Healthy Chick 101. She just like owns her body. She's so confident. I just fucking love her, right? So every day when I open my computer lid, is that what you'd call it? I see this and it reminds me of the life I want to have and the person I want to be. And so I always align my action to that. So I highly recommend jump on Canva, get some things off Pinterest, get some photos of your friends, like whatever you vibe to, set some goals. You're more likely to achieve them if you see them every day. Number two. This one comes straight from the wisdom of my dear old dad, David Wilson. If you know him, he's a bit of a legend. I would love to get him on the podcast one day because he is a huge business inspo for me and he can be a bit of a silly ghost like me as well. So it could be a good time. So if you are into that, let me know because we can do it. But this is his lesson and he has said this to me a few times this year and it is really stuck. You've got to look after yourself first before you look after anyone else. So you've got to fit your own oxygen mask before helping those around you. Now, this one, I guess, is like less businessy and more vulnerable in real life. You know, in the past, like I've suffered from some pretty bad anxiety and I've had clinical depression before and I've kind of got that under control over the last few years. And then particularly, I would say in the last half of this year, I was really battling some of those demons again. And, you know, I'm sure that that's not a unique experience, particularly for those in Melbourne. We were so locked down. It was really hard. It was winter. It was cold. It was dark, like just so gloomy, right? Energetically and outside. But, you know, when I get into that way, I stop looking after myself. Like I start going to bed really, really late. I start eating like shit. I stop exercising. I stop reading books and I start watching TV, like The Real Housewives, like all the time. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but there should probably be some more balance. I wasn't wearing clothes. I was just wearing my hoodie all the time. I wasn't washing my hair. I wasn't doing my makeup. You get the point. Anyway, I wasn't looking after myself. And then I was getting overwhelmed so easily. I was irritable with the people around me. I remember going into the office one day and there were some boxes in there that I wasn't expecting. And I literally just started crying. like things were grim. And I, in that state, can't show up for the people around me as the person I want to show up as. I can't show up as a great daughter or sister or friend. I can't show up as a, you know, fun brand owner who wears all the hats of social media and customer service and product development. I can't show up as a great artist to my clients. So knowing how I get in those situations now, I know that it's always priority number one to look after myself. And sometimes that means, you know, I'll get somebody text me and they'll be like, oh, do you want to come out for drinks tonight or whatever? And I'll be like, actually, you know what? Sorry, no, I can't, because like, I'm just not vibing it. And I need to look after myself so that tomorrow I can do XYZ. I don't have to tell them that, obviously, but that's why I'm doing it. And I'm really making sure these days to look after myself first so that I can be there for those around me. Number one. We are there. We're at number one. And this one, my friends, comes straight from my heart. And it sounds kind of cliche and it sounds a bit woo-woo, but I just for a minute want us to take a deep breath in and out, because I really sincerely want you to hear this. You can have anything you want. You can be anyone you want. And my God, you can do anything you want. There have been many moments, I would say, over the last 5 years of my life where things have just absolutely gone to shit. And without boring you, I didn't value myself at all. I really didn't. I didn't think I could do anything special. I didn't think I was anyone special. I didn't think I was a particularly good makeup artist. I didn't think that people would ever want to book me. I sure as shit never imagined that I would be able to start a product and that people would want to buy it. But something clicked in me and I realized that none of that was true. And that was my own limiting beliefs. That was, as RuPaul would say, your inner saboteur or something, your inner critic. That was my own naughty inner voice feeding me bullshit lies. And so as soon as I realized that, in fact, no, I can have a brand. I can make a product that people want. I am an artist that people want to book. I am good enough. I am a good human being. My life, sincerely, it changed. Everything around me changed. Having that belief in myself has made my life so much better. The last year, in so many ways, if you put it down on paper, and this would not be unique to me at all, in so many ways, just looks like absolute shit. The lockdowns, I had all this shit go down in my personal life that was really upsetting, that I truly thought I would never recover from. You know, people coming in and out, and when they do that, you let them, because that's, you know, their thing too. But my God, as soon as I started believing in myself, my life got so much better and everything else just falls into place. So if you've got a few things plus self-belief, if you've got resilience, if you are persistent, if you can take initiative, if you understand that hard work is going to help you get to where you want to be, you really can do whatever it is you want to do. And I believe that, and I believe that for you. And I sincerely look forward to hearing about it in 2022.